John, you're just going to have to bear with me. You're going to hear a lot of the same
thing. I figured I heard you.
That's part of what I have to do.
All right, we're ready to go.
Okay.
Hello, my name is Chad Herring, and my title is the South Coast Fishery Policy Lead with the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. The date is June 25th, 2019, and the time is 10:45 a.m. We are here at Region 6 Montesano office for a public hearing on the regulation proposals for the 2019 Willapa Bay Fall Salmon Fishery that was filed in CR 102, Washington State Register 19-11-075. Please be sure that you have signed the sign-in sheet and indicate on it whether you would like to testify. We will take your testimony in the order that you signed in. We will limit each person's comment period to 3 minutes. Considerable public discussion on the proposed fishing season has occurred during meetings that are part of the North of Falcon process. After approval from the director, the final regulations will be published on the Washington State Register. So this year, what's new is we got a small presentation that I'm just going to walk through to kind of highlight all the, what we went through in terms of the North of Falcon process and the APA, and then we'll jump right into public comments. So with that... So you guys have seen this slide before. This is the flowchart of the Administrative Procedures Act. This is the formal rulemaking process that's happening in the background of North of Falcon. North of Falcon is a small piece of this. The APA is a more comprehensive. This is our legal framework for filing regulations. It consists of a CR 101 at the beginning, which basically is a notice out to the public, hey, we're thinking about making some rules and regulations around this topic. Then we have the CR 102, and there's some time frames in between each of these steps that have to be met. We move to the CR 102, which is our proposal for what those rules and regulations look like. Then we have a 35-day comment period for written comments. At the end of that 35 days, or around the end of the 35 days, we hold a public hearing, and then we move forward. Now, into the 103 and the concise explanatory statement, the 103 is our final rules and regulations that are published. North of Falcon. So North of Falcon fits into this APA process right here between the 101, the filing of the 101, and the filing of the 102. So this is where we take all the comment and all that stuff, stakeholder input, in order to get to what we think is the proposed rules and regulations. So, in regards to some of those things for recreational fisheries, the CR 101 was filed January 22nd, noticed as Washington State Register 1903-137, and the 102 was filed on May 22nd of 2019, published in Washington State Register as 19-11-130. Written comments were due by June 24th for this filing, the recreational filings, and these are all the hearings that take place. We have a Puget Sound marine and freshwater hearing that happened this morning in Olympia at 9 a.m. There's a Columbia River hearing this afternoon down in the Ridgefield office at 1 p.m. Coastal marine and coastal freshwater hearings will both be here tomorrow at 9 a.m. for the marine and 11 a.m. for the freshwater. For commercial fisheries, the Puget Sound CR 101 was filed on January 22nd, noticed in the Washington State Register number 19-03-140. Puget Sound, the 102 for commercial fisheries, was filed on May 22nd. WSR number 19-11-126. Written comments were due by the 24th of 2019, and the hearing was this morning in Olympia at 9 a.m. Specific to coastal fisheries, for commercial fisheries for Willapa Bay and Grays Harbor, the 101 was filed on January 4th, published as 19-03-028. And the 102s were filed on May 16th of 2019 for both Willapa Bay and Grays Harbor, noticed as WSR 1911-075 for Willapa Bay and 076 for Grays Harbor. Written comments are due today by June 25th to the Rules Coordinator. We had the Grays Harbor hearing this morning, and the Willapa Bay hearing is right now. So, another piece of this APA process and in filing the 103 is the Small Business Economic Impact Statement. This is headed down, this This is required of us through the Regulatory Fairness Act. And so when we make some changes to rules that affect small business, basically they want us to do an impact statement analysis of how those rules might affect small businesses and their economics. So got to read this. So pardon, stay with me for a second. The Willoughby Bay Commercial CR-102 concludes that the identified rules packages will impose more than minor costs on the regulated small businesses, commercial harvesters. The CR-102 provides an SBEIS analysis addressing those costs in terms of the required gear changes, mostly tangle net for the Willoughby Bay fishery. An SBEIS is not provided with respect to changes in the available harvest of fish for conservation or allocation purposes, as those factors are not viewed as the regulatory imposition of a compliance cost. Lot there. Okay, so as you're well aware, our salmon don't respect our international boundaries. They move out and they are regulated through differently through three different jurisdictions, right? Internationally, we have the Pacific Salmon Treaty that guides us in terms of our management objectives for fisheries prosecution. Inside this economic exclusion zone, from 300 miles to 200 miles, fisheries are managed through the Pacific Salmon Fisheries Management Council. And then inside in our terminal fisheries, those are managed by the states but must be consistent with federal court orders, specifically U.S. v. Washington and U.S. v. Oregon. So, let me get to my, turn on this. All right, so the North of Falcon process. The North of Falcon process is a year-round process. It begins, the annual cycle begins with data compilation and the pre-season forecast development each winter. Then we move into the pre-season planning of fisheries through the North of Falcon process. That happens in the spring. And then we get to implementation and monitoring of the actual fisheries, data collection from fisheries and annual stock assessment activities. And that all feeds back into the cycle starting over again for the next year. So this is really, while we have North of Falcon basically for 3 months, for us it's really a year-round process that everything we do goes into that. Fisheries that are developed must be consistent with the Pacific Salmon Treaty, with the Magnitsky and Stevens Acts, with court decisions that we talked about earlier, like U.S. v. Washington, U.S. v. Oregon, the Endangered Species Act, Fish and Wildlife Commission, Washington State Fish and Wildlife Commission policies, like the North of Falcon policy, hatchery and fishery reform, Grace Harbor, Willoughby Bay, Columbia River, salmon management policies, and with applicable state laws. So this is a schedule of all the meetings that took place for North of Falcon this year, the public meetings. We kicked off with our salmon forecast meetings there at the end of February. Our first Pacific Fishery Management Council meeting was March 7th through the 12th. That's where the preliminary development of the three ocean options were developed at that meeting. We had a fishery discussion about Columbia River, and March 18th, March 19th was our first official North of Falcon public meeting. We had a Puget Sound recreational fisheries discussion on the 21st. The 25th was out in Westport, was the public hearing on the ocean salmon management options, those three options that were developed at the first PFMC meeting. We had some fisheries discussions here at the end of March, Grace Harbor on the 26th, Willoughby on the 27th, a Snake River discussion on the 28th, Columbia and ocean fisheries discussion on April 2nd. April 3rd was another public meeting up in Linwood, around North of Falcon, and then we had the final Pacific Fisheries Management Council meeting April 8th, 11th through the 15th, and that was where the ocean option was decided. Okay, we also have to have some meetings with our co-managers in order to negotiate our fishery packages. So this is just a list of all the meetings that took place between state and tribal policy or technical folks. It started February 26 with a co-manager technical modeling meeting that took place at the Northwest Indian Fisheries Committee Commission building there in Lacey. February 28th, we had a co-manager policy meeting that took place at the Muckleshoot Casino. That was just for policy staff. This one was just for technical staff. March 7th, at the Pacific Fisheries Management Council, we had some meetings with our tribal co-managers around our recommendations for preliminary ocean options development. We had North of Falcon number one meeting that was state tribal on March 22nd at the Lacey Community Center. March 21st, there was a follow-up to that at the Nisqually Tribal Office, and mostly centered around Puget Sound chum management was the main issue at that meeting. April 2nd, we met with the tribes up in Linwood prior to our day with our public meeting day, that was April 3rd, and then met with them again the next day. And then April 11th through the 15th at the Pacific Fishery Management Council meeting, met with our tribal co-managers around final ocean options and start developing what our inside fisheries might be and constraints. So, public input, there are many different ways for you to provide public input into this process and the section we're in now. We've got a spot on our website here where you can submit comments for each of the different fishery rulemaking packages. Our stuff is down here, just cut off due to the slide. But we would be down here, coastal freshwater, marine areas, Willapa Bay, Grace Harbor, on the website there. So, some of the challenges that we went into in the 2019 season, and these aren't really specific to 2019 except for this last one, but really every year our challenge is always balancing harvest opportunity with conservation and ESA limits, right? Allocation of the harvest impacts between fisheries. So once we've identified how many, right? And then how should they be split up across all the available sectors? And then a new one for us this year was the potential effects of fisheries on southern resident killer whales. There's a few other bullet points to this in other areas. For our area, it was really just the prey availability effects that we were looking at. Some of those other ones that they were looking at in Puget Sound, vessel traffic and marine noise associated with just the normal traffic through Puget Sound, as well as whale watching activities. And then there's a water quality piece of that for Puget Sound as well. So, but for us, it's just those prey availability. So, our management objectives for this year, these were given to us at the commission on April 6th as final guidance from the commission for us for Willoughby Bay 2019 seasons planning. We had actively managed to not exceed 20% for NOS Chinook on the Willapa River, 20% for Fall Chinook on the Nacelle River, natural origin. Actively managed to not exceed the 10% total impacts on chum. Some aspects of the policy that were previously ratified have been rescinded for the 2019 year, specifically the limitation on impact rate from 14%. We talked about earlier how we're going to fish at 20, and some of the date and time restrictions around when commercial fisheries can be prosecuted, as well as the commission also gave the department the flexibility to determine bag limits for Chinook and Coho in the wreck fisheries as long as it is appropriate within the 20% harvest rates and 10% impact rate for chum noticed above. So, this is just a table, a quick and easy table that Barb put together for us, kind of outline what we're proposing for commercial fisheries schedules this year. 2N, M, and N, right after Labor Day, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Most of the openings all through September are 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and then they go to 7 a.m. to 7, or 7 a.m., that should be 7 p.m.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, that's a mistake. That should be 7 p.m. In October. Also, go back to that for just a second. Another thing to notice here is all fisheries through the 16th of the month prosecuted within Willapa Bay will be be prosecuted utilizing TangleNet gear. So, well, and then we'll go to small mesh gear all the way, the rest of the way through.
I cannot.
So, moving on. And this is our November time frame, all using 6.5. These are 24-hour openings, typically Monday through Friday. In these weeks, this one is shortened just a little bit, just due to trying to hit those 20% management objectives preseason. So, where we ended up. So, we talked a couple slides ago about what our objectives were for this year, a 20%. 20% on Willapa River, 20% on Naso River for Chinook, and 10% for Chum. So modeling efforts, estimates of what our impact rates would project to be given our fishery package this year is 15.4% on Willapa River, 19.1% on Naso River. For Coho, our guidance is to hit the achieve the aggregate spawning goal, spawning escapement goal. That's set at 13,600. Our terminal area management model would predict that after prosecution of this fishery, we'd have just shy of 41,000 natural origin Coho on the spawning grounds. And for Chum, just a quick reminder, we needed to be 10% or less. Our total impact rate on Chum is estimated to be 9.9%. So, back to this kind of APA process slide. Talked about all the aspects of this. This is where we are right here at this part of the process in the public hearing. Next steps, after we coalesce all these comments, we go back and take a look at our rule proposals. We'll do one of two things. We'll make a change, if we decide to make a change, and it's substantial, then we'll have to restart this process coming back to a CR-102. We'll file what's called a CR-102P, which is the supplemental, and it'll kick us back to this part of the process, and we'll have to go through all this over again if we do make a substantial change. If not, then we file a CR-103P, we write up a concise explanatory statement, which is our justification for the fisheries. That'll be published to the Washington State Register at 14 days. And then 31 days after that filing, it becomes effective. So, now's the time for public comment. The time limit will be 3 minutes. We'll do questions after we get through the public testimony part. And then we can have some questions.
Well, I have a question that impacts my testimony, so I put that on the rack.
Okay.
A little late after.
We got Marlisa first.
My name is Marlisa Williams-Dugan. I am a recreational fishing advocate and a member of the advisory committee for Willapa Bay. I am here to comment on my Gillnet 2019 season setting options. The statement one is recreational fishers and myself, we object to gillnets in Willapa Bay prior to September 8th. The 2015 Willapa Bay policy has guidance to reduce Chinook gillnetting prior to this date in the South Bay and 915 in the North Bay to provide a meaningful recreational fishery on Chinook. We will see a poor return on Chinook again in 2019, according to WDFW return forecasts. In 2018, fish checker data showed a 7.5 trip rate per angler to catch one salmon. This is what happens to the recreational fisheries when the gill nets are allowed into the bay, not leaving enough buildup fisheries for the recreational fisheries to catch. The push to circumvent the Willapa Bay policy by the department and commercial advocates on the commission undermines confidence in the department and reinforces the recreational fisher's belief that the department only advocates for the commercial fisher. Again and again, the department seeks to change the rules to enhance commercial fishing. You seek to change the gillnet season dates established in policy, A, and B, you seek to change the 14% impact rate on Chinook to 20, and C, you tried to keep the Western Willapa Bay area a closure zone to recreational fishing, rule changes that only benefited the commercial fishing industry. At the same time, WDFW reduced bag limits on all areas to provide additional available impacts to give to the commercial fishers. Upper management in the department are not advocating for the recreational fisher. This is a sad situation, and the department has clearly lost its way. The modus operandi from the department is a dying path, failing to represent its fee payers. The current proposal for the gillnet season ignores our conservation needs once again, kicking the can down the road and allowing commercial fishers to further decimate our dwindling wild Chinook stocks. The commercial gillnet season should focus on their own priority of coho and chum and leave Chinook in these endangered times to recreational fishers who fish selectively. And I object to raising the impact restriction from 14% to 20% for the commercial harvest benefit. We will never meet our conservation objective goals in our lifetime with this kind of shenanigans and mismanagement by the department. And I truly am sorry to use that type of language, but it's a frustrating situation to have the rules changed that clearly don't benefit conservation or recreational fishing opportunities. We do not have enough wild Chinook coming over the bar in 2019 to meet our conservation objectives even before we start. I also object to all recreational fee increases. The department should change its employee lineup to change their mindset so that we can find a path that's going to provide meaningful recreational fishery opportunities and conservation goals. Please take a moment to evaluate the fate of other countries and our own East Coast who have gone down this road ahead of us and have nothing left to fish for. Protect, promote, and preserve is supposed to be the motto for WDFW, and in my opinion, this department has failed to do that for us in Willapa Bay. I look forward to some changes down the road, and I seriously hope that the department will throw this back to the design board and send the CR2 102 back for reconsideration.
Ross.
Ross Barker, South Bend, Washington. I have extensive written comments that I sent to Chad yesterday and to Mr. Bird. Three minutes is not enough time to discuss those. Over the years under this policy, we've systematically eliminated the most economic value of recreational fishing for small boats in North Bay. For a brief period, Buoy 10 and Tokelon were the recreational to-go places left in the state. Now it's just Buoy 10. We were told a fish separating weir below Forks Creek is not a high enough budget priority which would allow more production at Forks Creek. What this means is that recreational fishing in the estuary is not a high enough priority, even though the policy says it is, and the commission confirms that it still is. I don't blame the commercial fisheries for asking for an AA and getting it. These decisions are really all up to fish department management. So now 90% of our fish that come into bay turn south and head to the five or six rivers in the south. Freshwater fishing is effectively all that is left recreationally. The policy bypass, putting nets in before September 8th, puts recreational fishing viability, is wild fish escapement, and egg take in extremis, just like it was last year. In-season management has not been the forte of this region. We see no built-in precautions and limitations for when we have a low run. This move of flexibility was justified to the commission as necessary to allow commercial fishermen to get on the anticipated high coho run. As a result, you put nets in on September 3rd before the policy allows it in the south when there are no coho there. This qualifies as deception, and it needs to stop.
Thank you. John, you reserving the right to change your mind?
I just asked if you got my input from Scott Bird.
Yes.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay.
Can we have a few minutes for comment?
Mm-hmm. We got it.